Queensland government has cleared Adani to start work on its Carmichael coal mine, as you can imagine. Adani Australia CEO Lucas Dow was pleased.
We were always confident that we'd see these plans approved and we'd start construction of the mine. Clearly, what we'd always been seeking was certainly a process and timing, and you know, I'm glad that we've now got it and we can get on with it.
The approval comes after weeks of intense pressure on Queensland's Labor government, years of political warfare, and follows a federal election featuring major swings against the Labor Party in Queensland. John Quiggin is an Australian economist, professor at the University of Queensland. John, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon.
What does this approval actually mean for Adani?
Well, it means that they don't have any legal obstacles to undertaking the pre-construction work. There's still some issues with the federal government's approval of the water plan, which is was overturned in federal court the other day. But it means that legally they're free to start work. Their obstacles now are primarily commercial.
Now, Lucas Dow, he says that he puts a timeline on this, 2 years from now.
So the construction period for the mine is essentially, mine and rail project, is essentially 2 years. So, you know, ostensibly you can be thinking from today, in 2 years' time, people should be expecting that we've exported our first piece of coal.
John Quiggin, is that going to happen?
Certainly there are obstacles that remain. They have to have an agreement with Aurizon, whose rail line they want to connect to, and they have to have a market for the coal that may be within the Adani Corporation itself. And, of course, Adani has to actually come up with the money that it's promised to invest in the project, which economically doesn't look like a really good decision.
Walk us through some of the economics around this and the effect that they have on just the fundamental viability of the mine.
Well, when Adani first purchased the mine back in 2011, the price of coal was around $100 a tonne, and all the expectations were that coal would continue growing into the future. Now, obviously, the price has bounced about, but it's currently around $70 a tonne, and we're seeing very big pressure to move away from coal globally. So the project now really has to rely on the assumption that Adani Corporation can build its own power stations, which it has some contracts for, and that it prefers to source its own coal from the Carmichael mine rather than buy it quite cheaply on the world market.
And does that look like a likely scenario to you?
It's really very hard to tell. It depends a lot on the very favourable deals that Adani Power has achieved in India, and also potentially on support from the Australian government in the form of low-cost loans from, for example, the Export Finance Insurance Corporation. Without those two things, the mine would not be viable.
So without basically the taxpayer making some contribution in the form of those low-cost loans, would Adani struggle to find the necessary finance elsewhere in the non-government sector?
Well, certainly Adani hasn't been able to find any outside commercial finance. The company said that they're going to finance the entire project itself, which is fairly unusual. So that's a very large equity investment, which you wouldn't normally expect to see. So obviously the economics of the project will be greatly enhanced by support from the Australian government.
This is the large quantity of coal, which will ultimately, I guess the objective is to be burned, and that in terms of climate and carbon into the atmosphere is potentially something which might attract international attention. Are there any impediments to the progress of the mine insofar as those international arrangements around climate change and carbon contributions are concerned?
No direct impediments. As I say, the effect has been that the project's been unable to attract commercial finance because most of the big banks and insurance companies now have policies that preclude projects like this. But Adani is supplying their own money, and they claim to have insurance in place. So none of those obstacles are direct, but it does raise the question of, even if they can make a go of the mine in the short run, whether in 20 or 30 years' time, which they need the mine to run at least that long to cover their costs, whether there will still be any real role for coal-fired power.
And there's been a lot of talk too about leases that adjoin the Carmichael lease of the Adani Corporation. Is it a necessary consequence of Adani getting off the ground that those mines also will get some sort of green light or at least look more possible?
It was certainly a necessary condition that Adani should build its rail line first. Without that, the other projects can't go ahead. But none of those have the advantages that Adani has in terms of preferred access to a market. So even though the project is has appeared more lightly. We've seen, for example, the China Stone company just essentially pack up shop, and we haven't had any real action from the other proponents for some time. So it would take a significant upturn, I think, in the global price of coal for those projects to be feasible.
We hear a lot about India turning slowly away from coal power, yet you say that the Adani Corporation could have a self-sustaining ecosystem, if you like, of mine, coal and of power stations. Is that a thing that's based in reality? Is that can they actually go against the flow in that way?
A good question. Adani has a large renewable, they have plenty of bets on renewable as well. Their main rival in India, Tata Power, has pretty much abandoned coal, but Adani has secured some deals to build coal-fired power stations, which will sell at very favourable tariffs into Bangladesh. So there certainly is a potential there, although it really is hard to see all of those pieces fitting together without some additional support from the Australian government.
And presumably that's the next political pressure point around this project.
I would think so. I think if you look at Mr. Dow's statement, he's certainly, on the one hand, saying they'll have mines within 2 years. But if you look at the short term, they're moving quite slowly. They're not racing to start digging now. As he says, they'll take a few weeks getting around to hiring people. They've advertised 50 jobs for pre-construction. So in some sense, I think they're still waiting for some kind of signal on the finance before they go ahead in a very large scale.
And the employment possibilities around this project have been, key to the political arguments on it. What's your sense of its ultimate employment impact?
Well, the company says 1,500 jobs in the construction phase. They give a number for indirect jobs, but that really economically is a nonsense. Project proponents always make this kind of claim. So assuming the project goes ahead, there's 1,500 jobs in the construction phase, which is less than 2 years, obviously. Mm. We haven't seen much talk of how many jobs there'll be when the mine actually operates. The number of 100 jobs was bandied around before the election campaign, but that remains to be seen. But certainly, once the construction phase is over, the number of jobs will be quite small.
Presumably, ongoing, it would be a largely automated operation.
Yes, and again, that's been a topic of dispute. They say they're not going to have a fully automated mine, but I think the rail line probably will be almost entirely automated. And so the number of jobs once the project is actually going will be quite small.
John Quiggin, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
John Quiggin is an Australian economist. He's a professor at the University of Queensland.